and welcome to The On-Call Room,
a Grey's Anatomy podcast.
I'm Abby.
And I'm Bree.
And it's a beautiful day to podcast. Welcome back. We have not been here for a week. Did you miss us?
I missed us. I feel like we haven't recorded in like months. That's not true, but it's kind of what it feels like.
It was March 8th, the last time we recorded. So it has been a long time. I just looked at when that last episode was.
Yeah, it's been a while. But we're here now.
Also, we're here now. I'm going to say this on air. Bree, I'm going to have to turn our video cameras off because it's so off.
Okay. All right. Sounds good. Turning it
Bree
off.
Bree and I are using this program, which is great because it's fun, or it's supposed to be fun, where we can see each other. But I feel like my internet just can't handle it. And so I have to say goodbye to her.
That's fine. You know what? I don't look great right now anyway. So I'm sad I can't see you, but I'm not disappointed that you can't see me. Let's just say that.
So yeah, we took a break off and we appreciate all of you guys for understanding. Life is just busy and wild right now. But if this is your first time tuning in, this is a Grey's Anatomy podcast where we deep dive every episode. We are all the way in season 11, episode 19 and 20. And we started way back in the beginning of season one, a long time ago. So we're getting there. We're chugging along. We also have had a few questions. If people listen to our Facebook group, are in it. For a while, we were recapping new episodes that came out, like in the current season 17. We are taking a break from that. We just did that in between. We had like a little bit of a weird time before the holidays set in, before we wanted to start the season. So if you do want to talk about the current season with other Grey's fans, I highly recommend you go to our Patreon page at patreon.com/theoncallroom. And you can just pledge $2 a month and get access to that Facebook group. And we have a great community of people that love to like discuss and talk and complain about the new season. It's really fun. And you're supporting us.
Yeah. Which, thank you for that. There's also other things you can get there. You know them all, but check out Patreon. They're all listed on the side there. But about the Facebook group, this past week was the Teddy episode, the Teddy-centric episode. And although we're not doing a recap, I will say some things quickly about it. Weird. It was just weird. I feel like they were trying to do something different. But what I love about the Facebook group is there are a lot of people who really didn't care for the episode. But then there were arguments for people who thought it was really beautifully shot and thought like they did a wonderful job. So, and everyone I feel like is really respectful. Like no one's like, you're an idiot for liking that episode. No one feels that way. So if you have like hot takes, people are really open to hearing them in that group, and we try and keep it a really safe, inclusive space. So
absolutely. I watched it and I just was, this is my one thing I'll say on it. Maybe we do our bonus episode about our thoughts on the current season so far, just in general, so I'll save many thoughts for that. But I would just like to say that I feel like it was nothing new. Like it was just everything that we already knew packaged again into one. And usually I get a lot of Grey's goosebumps, when there's like flashbacks, but I really didn't get any. Like I enjoyed seeing the like clips of Teddy and Owen from when Christina was still in the picture, you know, when he's like, I love Christina or whatever, but I didn't like get GGBs.
Yeah. The other thing that I think, and you know, I think it was just how they decided to shoot it. I think for me, it gave PTSD. They misconstrued it because like it literally seemed like she wasn't well for a night and then got fluids and was fine. Like, you know, it's like, oh, PTSD is cured and she got out of bed. Like, and right. I know she was probably in bed longer because like Owen's like, she's not eating or she won't talk or whatever, but just the way the episode went, it literally looked like
that.
He carried her home and she laid in bed for a day and then got fluids and then was like cured. And it really kind of, my sister was like, oh, that's what PTSD is. Like, oh, great. That makes a lot of sense, you know? And I know that's not what they were trying to imply, but to me, like that part felt a little It just was packaged so quickly into one episode, you know?
It's kind of like in Game of Thrones, when like in season one, you know, it would, for example, Christina's PTSD after the shooting lasted about half of a season.
Yes.
And in early Game of Thrones, if they had to get from one land to another, it would take an entire season. But by the last season of Game of Thrones, within an episode, they would have traveled across the whole land. And I feel like that's, they like, well, now she's healed. So I agree. They're just trying to squeeze a lot into one. I do have my hopes and my fingers crossed that because Krista Vernoff is in negotiations that like we will get one more season of Grey's. I just don't think this is the one to end on. It could have been, but it's not. So I really am pushing for one final season that's like really amazing.
Yeah. And I have thoughts and feelings because there's that like article that was like, hey, we're writing it that it could either be a series finale or a season finale. And so I think the last episode is going to be Meredith coming off the vent.
Makes sense.
I feel like that could end either way. Like she's alive. You know, so we can like go into the next season or like she's alive one last time and came through it. You know, like that's what I think it's going to end on. But we'll just see.
Ellen Pompeo making so much bank by laying in a hospital bed and hanging out in Malibu where she like lives anyways. Like,
well, you know, she did have to do a little bit of talking on this past episode and walk around in snow.
That's true.
I wanted to do, like read something like was the snow a metaphor for something? Like,
didn't it feel like a Christmas Carol? Like Meredith was the ghost of Christmas past, because that's all I could think about.
Yeah, I don't know. It was they tried something new, and you know, good on them for trying something new. But I feel like this whole season is trying something new, so we don't need another musical episode. Which is what I equate this to.
Yes. But less enjoyable.
Yeah. Yeah.
The music. Also, I would say too, that I'm upset that they didn't get Scott Foley, who played Henry, to come back, because I know for a fact that he's like, well, I don't know for a fact. That's way too whatever. But his like Twitter account, he was like really trying hard to even get a second vaccine the other day. He was like posting or a first vaccine, sorry. And I was like, okay, so he's not doing anything right now. But like, what's he doing? He's not in a show right now. Let's get him back. And they didn't even try.
Yeah, I think, well, and two, like, I don't like how they just threw in this all of a sudden became a recap of this episode, but I don't like how they just like quickly threw Henry in there in like a one liner, because like she's talking about her one true loves and stuff. And like, yes, Allison and yes, Owen. And I was really confused why DeLuca was there so much, but I think it was because I don't know. But then I was like, where is Henry? Like this broke her. She left the show. I don't know.
Right.
Whatever.
Yeah.
And I really liked Teddy, and I liked Teddy's character, and I just kind of feel like this episode really didn't do her job. I thought she did great acting. I thought Amelia's acting was, everyone's acting was really great, but I just, the writing, something not good about it.
Yeah, I was like, okay, that was a waste of time. So hoping next week is great. I'm sad that they ruined the spoiler, but I agreed with what our Facebook group said, which was that after this episode, they needed to entice people to come back. So they just showed us that Lexi was coming back, like without. So I really hope that that is a fulfilling episode, and that it really, like, if to me, it feels like when George came back, that was really George. The Derek, I still feel like Derek is just like
a mirage.
You know, in, yeah, you know, and did you ever watch New Girl?
No.
Okay, well, in New Girl, there's this like little old wise
age. I'm sure lovely Gray's BB screaming at me right now that I've never watched New Girl. So all of you at me, I'm really sorry, but I haven't watched it.
I would say it's in the vein of Schitt's Creek where it's just enjoyable. You know, like there's not, the stakes aren't high. But there's this little like, cute little wise Asian man that Nick Miller like goes and visits, and he never speaks to Nick Miller, but Nick Miller like has conversations with him, and it's always, he's like whatever. And I feel like that is Derek in the Mirage. Like, I don't know what Derek is saying, but Meredith just keeps talking to him. But I feel like what I'm trying to say is George felt true to his character. Derek feels odd. And I hope that when Lexi comes back, it feels like Lexi's back. You know what I mean? And it's not like some weird, someone's giving parables. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. Anyways, so we have that to look forward to. Also weird to be talking about these episodes when like when we're currently about to talk about Derek's last few episodes. Like, it's such a weird, it's weird to have him on both current Grays and past Grays at the same time, because it hasn't happened yet. Ever since we've been recording the podcast, Derek has been dead.
Yeah, I know. It is kind of like a weird, like, Twilight Zone thing going on right now.
We are in the Twilight Zone.
Truly feels like it sometimes. So anyway, Grey's Anatomy.
Yeah. And so we appreciate, again, you letting us take a little week off. We have two more episodes with Derek, as in like two podcast episodes. So I feel like we need to try our best to enjoy them as much as sometimes Derek drives us crazy. It's like, I feel like the whole show shifts after this. We like enter a different, it's like the Old Testament to the New Testament.
Yeah,
before, truly. Before Derek and after Derek.
Yeah.
So anyways, do you have any other things you want to share with the listeners about life before we dive in?
Not really. I finished my wedding invites this morning, so those will be going out in the mail, Grays BBs, to all of you.
Don't get your hopes up. I'm hoping I get one.
We'll see. We'll see.
That's awesome. It's kind of, the weather has, we always like to talk about boring things like the weather. It's sort of made a shift, but it's cold again today, but it feels different. The birds are out.
The birds are out, and there are some tulips popping up and daffodils. Yep. So,
and the listeners, I'm getting air conditioning. So rest in peace to me complaining about the heat in my house when I podcast, because hopefully that will never be the case again. So I hope you enjoyed that for the past 4 years. I thank you for sticking with me.
You know what I bet is going to shift now? It's going to be you talking
about
how you're cold and your air conditioning. Like, it's just so nice out and I just feel so chilled and have my sweaters on right now. That's what's going to happen.
I told Jake I would get air conditioning as long as he promised that it only has to be on when it's like unbearable, because I don't like being cold.
I totally agree. It's really nice for sleeping, honestly.
Yeah. And I'm excited to not have my clothes feel damp in my closet, which was what happens in the summer. And my toilet like sweats.
Yeah.
And it like makes a flood in my bathroom because of how hot it is. So, and I'm excited to cook in the summer, because for a while there, I could not cook. It was too fucking hot. So
yeah, that's why you got a grill.
All right. I don't have one of those or a good one yet. Need a patio. Don't have a patio because I'm only getting one stimulus check. Need another stimulus check.
Be really great.
I feel like we've gotten used to these stimulus checks now too, where like, obviously I did make less money. So like, it's not really like free money or, you know, like new money, but I think the government should continue to pay stimulus checks throughout the years.
Forever, for the rest of our lives. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, so, we're using it to get a new roof. I mean, not a whole new roof, but like a little side roof.
Just that little section. Isn't that so depressing?
Mm-hmm. Because this one time, when we moved into the house, there was like some patching in the kitchen, like over by the ceiling and the wall. And we're like, oh, whatever. And, you know, we repainted. So we just painted over it. And then the big melt hit, the big 2021 melt. And, we looked up at our kitchen ceiling and in our bathroom, and we have water damage. So they had
patched it. Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, they had patched it for us to buy the house, and then the roof is so jacked up that, like, so it's whatever. I don't know. House shit is so annoying. I'm like, why did we buy a house? It's just all you do is just, like...
And, like, an old historical home you bought.
Yeah, all you do is just, like, work on it and put thousands of dollars you don't have into it.
Yep, that is what you do. So on that depressing note, let us dive deep into another depressing note, which is the last time Meredith and Derek kiss. Should we just jump in?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So we are talking about season 11, episode 19 and 20, Crazy Love and One Flight Down. I'll read the first one and we'll alternate. Okay. At this point, I feel like I don't need to ask you that because we do that anyways, but it feels like if I don't, then it's, you'll rude, be like, do you want me to read next? Or one of us So, okay. Anyways, short summary. Upon realizing that Owen and Amelia have been seeing each other behind her back, Meredith comes down hard on her sister-in-law, causing Amelia to rethink things. Meanwhile, Catherine springs into action when a man is brought into the hospital after his wife seeks revenge on his cheating ways.
A small plane crash in Seattle causes multiple casualties and brings back horrible memories for the doctors, especially Meredith in Arizona. Meanwhile, friction between Owen and Amelia makes for an uncomfortable working situation for Stephanie.
And the monologue, read by Meredith Grey, is love. Neuroscience tells us it activates the same parts of the brain as habit-forming addiction. It makes us feel like we can do anything, be anything, achieve anything. And once we taste it, we want more. The thing about love is when it's good, it's so very good. And when it's bad, it hurts so much. And if you can't find a way to balance all those ups and downs, it will make you crazy.
And then the second one, a surgical residency is all about training for the worst. But as prepared as we might be, we usually don't see disaster coming. We can try to envision the worst case scenario to foresee catastrophe. But when true disaster strikes, it often comes out of nowhere. And when the worst really does happen, we find ourselves completely blindsided. Why do bad things happen to good people? We ask that question so often, it becomes a cliche. But that's because bad things do happen to good people constantly. You just have to hope that when it's your turn, you'll know what to do, how to cope, how to persevere. But the truth is, you don't know how you'll react to your worst case scenario. None of us do. Not until it happens. Meredith Grey.
Lovely. While you read that monologue, I completely reorganized my recording station.
Great. So you were really listening intently.
I was really listening intently. I still don't think it's quite right. I hope this is okay. I needed to get comfier. I want to set up like Dax and Monica have on Armchair Expert.
Where they sit on like lazy
couches. Yeah. Like that would be so much better. So, okay. Shotgun workup. We have Marissa McKay, spondylolisthesis.
But there's another S in there. Spondylolisthesis.
It's the name of my firstborn. Thomas Archibald, severed penis. Rory Petrucci, scalp laceration. Katie Shaw, intestinal tears. Sam Garrett, abdominal injuries, myocardial infarction, and ventricular rupture. I really wish that Gilmore Girls wasn't so famous because I really do like the name Rory for a girl, but I feel like it's unavoidable that they would think of like Rory.
Yeah, my cousin just named their daughter Lorelai. And I was like, I love that name, but literally all I can think of is Gilmore Girls. So
Right.
Rounds, we have Derek and Meredith. They're in a pretty good place right now, but then he goes missing. So that's great. We have the plane crash. And we'll talk about Richard with that, which is such a thing. And then also like what it does to Meredith in Arizona. Catherine Avery returns to the hospital. And again, some stuff with Richard there. Then we have Amelia and Owen. They're fighting and they break up. It's, you know, classic Owen stuff. And then Stephanie is trying to pick out her specialty and she really needs to believe in love. And then we didn't say earlier what our post-op topic was going to be.
Oh, yeah.
So if you are a $10 patron, make sure that when we call time of death, you'll get an extra bonus topic, which will be, we're going to talk about Maggie and her going on her date and her talking too much. So if that was of interest to you, you can become a $10 patron and you can find the link in the show notes.
Perfect. First notes, what's yours?
I said, oh, I love this song. Ooh. Oh, this was me singing the song. Ooh, how I want you. Ooh, how I need you, baby. And then I said so much sex. So.
Wow. Yeah. Who rebounds that quickly?
Who has that much sex?
But like he literally gets off of her and is like, again?
Oh, you meant like emotionally, like rebounds from
there. No. I mean, like he literally had intercourse, rolled off her, and then asked if they could go again.
Oh, I know. Yeah, that's my next note is like, you want to go again? I was like, so fucking fast. Wow. Okay, cool. Like, yeah. I don't know that that has ever happened in my life. And honestly, if it did, I think I'd be like, no, I really actually don't want to go again.
Right.
I would like a second, maybe in a, but like, it was like immediately.
That's what I mean. It was, it didn't make any sense, like physically. Please report back if this has happened to you. And if I am just maybe have bad sex my whole life. Actually, you know what? Don't tell me if that's the case. Please don't share your thoughts with me. I just think it's a little, I mean, it's they're trying to show that they're in love and happy and they're back to their like early days. Which I also have a note though that I would like to, okay, again, Derek isn't perfect, but when he came out in his like button down, he had coffee. I said, I want to live in a mountain home with Derek.
Yeah. I mean that view, like their beautiful, right, huge windows. Can you like fuck me up, man? That's just, it's really unfair.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm grateful for my home and my view of my neighbor's.
Are you with But you prefer to be in the mountains.
Yeah. But I say that, but honestly, John's family lives out.
Weird.
Yeah, John's family lives out in the country and they kind of all live on a compound. That sounds really weird, but it's like a neighborhood. But it's out in the country.
It's a cult.
They all live together. No, they like, it's grandparents just own a lot of land out there. And so like a lot of people have built homes out there. And I'm sure if we wanted to, like we could ask to buy land from grandma and grandpa. But I could not live in the country. It's too quiet. It's too dark. I am a city kitty. Like I don't want to have to like drive 20 minutes to go to a grocery store. Like I really don't think I could live in the country.
I think I could, but I think it would, if I had kids, I could, because I'd like, but like all by myself alone all day. You know what I mean? Like not that children would protect me, but it would like, I'd be not bored. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah. I just like,
I don't know them.
I don't know. If my kids like went to bed, I'd just be scared. I don't know. I don't, maybe this is something the matter with me, but like, I don't like the quiet like that. Like it just, it creeps me out. And I don't like the dark. I hate the dark. I'm super afraid of the dark. So I appreciate.
Are you afraid of the dark?
Yeah. So I appreciate the, street lights and stuff around. Anyway, none of this matters. Let's keep going.
Perfect. Okay. So let's just talk about Meredith and Derek, just because I feel like it's one of the bigger topics. So the whole morning is like, she's like, I wish you didn't have to go to DC. I wish you could stay here. Cause I think he has to go to like do his final report or whatever, something like that.
And give back his phone.
Yes. And give back the phone. And it's sad when they're in the door. I remembered this part now. He's like about to walk out and she says to him, I just wish you could stay or I could come with you. And then he says to her, you have to stay here. Don't move. Wait for me. And they like kiss. Is wait, was that line used ever before? Or like,
yeah, he said that to her when he, with our, your
the
favorite
House of Candles?
Yes.
The House of Candles. Okay. That's why. Yeah. So when he had to go tell Rose that they were breaking up. Okay. Yes. Stay. Don't move. Wait for me. Oh, okay. No wonder. I was like, why am I getting goosebumps? That's why. It's literally, thank you for helping me with that. So yeah, then they kiss and I am just like, it's just weird. That's the last time they see each other in person, which not to be all deep and like real life, but it's that like weird feeling of like, you don't know, nothing is like given. And so like, I don't know. I just think about all the times that I've like said bye to Jake in the morning and I'm like half dead asleep and I'm like, goodbye.
Oh, totally.
And it's just like, at least they had a beautiful goodbye.
I know. I mean, I was like, I just realized like, this is super sad. Like, I don't know. We shit on Derek a lot. And I get it. Like, you know, we have spent 11 years doing this podcast, not
yes,
really,
yes. But
straight up 11 years doing this. And, it's just really sad. I just have a note about like, I don't know. It's like, it is really sad that he dies. Like, yeah. I understand that like Meredith gets through it and she's like fine without Derek or whatever, but like, ultimately, I don't think we give enough credit to how sad it actually is that like her love and her partner dies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And even like to think now that her beach, you know, that she's visiting in this like weird limbo time of her, like he's there, like even through all of the like men, which hasn't been many, you know, that she's had some relationships with or like this new guy, like Derek is the one that's her, like that's her love. And so it's just like, I think that this podcast has hardened me to him a lot when I remember watching these episodes live and how devastated I was, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Can I fast forward and and just do a little foreshadowing here?
Please do.
So Derek is pretty much gone this whole episode.
The whole episode.
Yep. Yeah. And then we'll talk about Owen and Amelia, later in the episode and kind of what's going on with them. But at one point, Amelia comes home and is talking to Meredith, and she goes on this rant about, like, you don't get to judge me until you've lost the love of your life. Like, you don't get to judge how, like, I pick up the pieces and stuff. And that to me was like, holy shit, foreshadowing. 'Cause she's talking about losing the love of, and I never picked up on that until I watched this episode this time.
Yeah, I put a couple of quotes in it of that. She says, she says, you don't know where I've been or what I've had to overcome. You've never lost the love of your life. You've never cried over the body of the person you loved the most. You've never had to claw your way back from that. But I have. I'm still trying to pull myself together, and I'm doing the very best that I can. And she even says something like, until you've had to walk in my shoes. And yeah, it's very eerie that next day, like, that will be the case. You know, like, it just... Also, remember how... I'm pretty sure the last episode we saw Amelia and Derek outside on the porch talking. That's their last conversation they have together. Like, and I was right in thinking too, the last thing he says to Owen is he's like, we should fish sometime, you know, like, 'cause he doesn't interact with any other characters again.
Yeah, that's it.
So, yep. So, I mean, there's really nothing in the first episode of him other than that at the very end, Meredith gets a phone call, or Amelia picks it up. It's the White House calling. Meredith takes the message, and it's that he never showed up at his meeting. And I wrote, is this when we think he died? Because remember, like, we knew he was leaving the show, but we didn't know how. And so then that next episode is the plane crash. And we, like Meredith, I think are to assume that he died in the plane crash.
Mm-hmm.
And then also this episode too has a ton of, it keeps going back to them in bed together, talking about different things back and forth. And I think that's why we were all surprised when, again, spoiler alert, the next episode is like, it's Derek centric and he's like alive and well, he goes on a ferry boat, like all these things, like you're like, oh shit, he didn't die in the plane crash. Then what were those cop cars? Like, it like kind of gets you confused before the final moment.
Yeah. And then in the end of the first episode, I thought it was very kitschy that like Meredith takes a note and she just writes Derek question.
Derek?
And then like it zooms in on it and it's like, ooh, end of the episode. Like, where's Derek? But why'd she write that note? Like Derek question mark. Yeah.
I have no idea.
So yeah, I think you make a really good point though, that like they definitely, in watching it now, we obviously know what happens, but I think we probably were supposed to assume that he died in that plane crash. You're right. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah. So moving on to the next one, the first throwback scene we get is again, them in bed, which I'm assuming is like happening the week before he has to go back to DC or just that one morning that they spend in bed. And it's cute because it brings another like very classic throwback of them where he's watching her sleep and he says that she snores. And he talks about how like in DC, he could hear a train every night. And he's like, your snoring is like a train. It's much cuter though. And like just all the funny things. And she gets mad and like throws a pillow at him. And he's like, you're like a bird, a gargling, drowning bird or something. Like, I don't know. It's just very funny. I love that they bring that. 'Cause that was like from season one. Mm-hmm. He tells her she snores. So, I love that.
He also at one point, talks to her about wanting to have another baby.
Oh yeah. That's so sad.
Which made me really sad. 'Cause I also don't remember that. And then spoiler alert, she does get pregnant. So, or she probably is pregnant in that conversation. And so I don't know. I really don't remember him like being like, I want more of this life, us, Zola, our family here. I just want to be here. And I think they try, you know, they wrote him out this way that like him and Meredith are at their like perfect moment in their life and their relationship. and that's how he leaves. Like, it's almost like there's not any unfinished business. There's even not any unfinished business there technically, because he wants another kid and she's pregnant. You know what I mean? Like,
they wrap it up
so perfectly for him. Which is good, I guess, but it's just really sad.
Is Alice the third child? Is that the name of?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And also there's that great moment too, when they're in bed and she's talking about when, he was gone, that she, to like how she kept the bed company. She would, one night she printed the tumor and slept with it. A lot of times she FaceTimed Christina and put the phone on the pillow. Then sometimes she would bring all the kids into bed with her. Like, she's even like, again, it's like throwing back to how she was okay without him, but it's much better when with him there. I love too in surgery, and we'll talk about the plane crash when we talk about the plane crash, but like, you know, she's panicking about it. And I love that Bailey gives her that moment where she's like, okay, like, what is the absolute latest time that you will start to panic? And she's like, 6:30. She's like, okay, 5 o'clock. At 5 o'clock, you can panic, but you cannot panic now. And I think that that is like a really helpful way of just in general. Like, even I remember in therapy once, my therapist telling me that, like, rather than being anxious and worrying about something all day, give myself 15 minutes a day where I can like sit in and think about it and let myself spiral and like journal and do whatever. But then like when the alarm goes off, I have to step out of it. Cause like, it's not gonna, you can't worry about it the whole time. And I love that Bailey, I love that like coping method of just like, okay, fine, you're allowed to panic, but just not right now.
Yeah, like, we're in the middle of surgery right now. You have to do your job. And like, yeah, I think that it was great advice and helped her get through the day. One other thing, like, I think there were a lot of throwbacks, like you said, and callbacks in this episode and in the bed. And at one point, Derek says to her, which he's told her before, you're like coming up for fresh air. I was drowning and you saved me. And then he says, it's you. It's always been you. And I think that's like right before he ends up saying he wants to have another kid. So once again, it's like this perfect moment of like, I have always loved you. You've saved me. I want to be with you. I'm like ending my career in DC. And so that like confirmation for Meredith that like he is choosing her.
Yes.
And then he dies.
It sucks. I do wish balance wise of the show that we would have had maybe a few more episodes of them in the hospital together, like thriving like this. Cause I just feel like the DC stuff took so much time of this final season with him, you know, that like, it's like a bummer. I think that's why sometimes there's such a bad taste in our mouth with him, is because his final season is 90% spent him being a mega dick, you know?
Well, I think too, it was just, I'm sure like the culture of like this on set too, like, you know, he didn't necessarily leave on good terms. And so I can, and so he's not in a lot of the season, you know, like there's a good portion of episodes where he's not even in them. And so I think that kind of bleeds into the writing of it and him not being around, and like coming back now and reflecting on it, and with him being on the current season where they could kind of like get over the past and like heal and forgive. It makes us, I think, even more sad that like, it had to be the way it was back then, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it does feel healing that he's like on the current show, and that, you know, personally that like whatever was happening between them, like, you know, Ellen Pompeo talked about like they went on a hike together and discussed things, and like, you know, I feel like there is probably a respect that he has for her that he might not have had back then. And I think that it makes me happy that even though it's this weird beach thing, like just knowing that he did go out on bad terms, that he's also been invited back. And so clearly like there has been some healing there, which is like nice. I agree with, I would really love like a tell-all book at the end of this whole thing. Like, get Oprah Winfrey to interview the entire Grey's cast and let, I want to know everything.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure they have a lot of stories to tell.
Wouldn't you love a book, like a book written by like excerpts from all the different writers? And like, I just want to know everything about the drama. It'll never happen, but I'd really like it.
Yeah. Who knows? Maybe we can manifest it. Maybe we can write it.
just right. Yeah, exactly. But yeah, so then the episode ends with, you know, the clock strikes 6:30 or whatever, and she's at home and still hasn't heard from him. Oh, at 5. Okay. And then cop cars arrive at her house, which is never a good sign. I had to text you or ask you, I was like, is that really like, because he, you know, got hurt in that car accident? And like, I guess it is, but then, so we must time jump backwards in the next episode.
Yeah, I believe so. So yeah, it's like, she's about to make a phone call or something. And she looks up and the cop cars are there. It's like right at 5 o'clock.
Fucking hate that. Like the way he goes out to that, it's fucking brain issue and that you can hear him talking the whole time. Like the frustration that we're going to have, like, it just frustrates me so much, that episode.
I'm going to be honest. I think I've watched that episode once.
What about the one though, when she says goodbye to him? Cause I've seen that one more than once.
No, like I think these episodes I've specifically chosen to only watch them once. They were really hard for me. I didn't like, I wasn't in a good place emotionally. I feel like when these came out, and so they were always really hard episodes for me to watch. And so I specifically like have always skipped over them. So this will be interesting.
Wow.
Doing this.
Yeah. Yikes. Yeah. Good luck to you.
Thank you.
So, you're welcome. All right.
It's fine. I'm in a really cynical place right now, so it will be totally fine.
Yeah, you're in a great place right now, Brie.
Yeah, it's gonna be.
Let's talk about Catherine Avery, because that happens in the first episode, and the plane crash is like in the second one. Mm-hmm. And it's just a lighter topic, I guess. I don't know. Okay, let's talk about penises. Grace is obsessed with women taking revenge on men's penises.
Yeah, this story, because I was like, oh, this wife cut off this dude's penis. This happened before. And I went, oh, wait, someone bit off a penis before. And then there's so many penis jokes. Like, Bailey opens the Chinese, like, food. Yes, food box. Yeah, and it's like, oh, well, that's a big one. I was like, LOL, okay, Bailey. Like, there were did you write down the things that Stephanie said to Jackson?
No, I wish I had, because they were so good. I wrote so many good penis puns.
Yeah. I have them. Let me just find them. Maggie, Richard, I don't know. Talk about something while I look for it.
Well, I just love before that you do the right after the, I want to say Jackson looks very sexy to me when he's like wearing those little magnifying glasses and he's like working at a desk and he's just like chill and calm. Stephanie's running in with the penis. And I love after all the penis puns, he's just like, can you give it to me?
Yeah. It's okay. So she runs in and he's like, wow, like, did you debride whatever this? And she's like, yeah, it wasn't hard. And then there's like a pause and she's like, I mean, it's not a big thing. And then she was like, it was easy. I was just in and out. So those were all of her penis puns, which are really, really funny, because also they're to Jackson, which we know their history. And it was like extremely awkward. And
yes.
Yeah.
And I just love how fast she ran with it too. And like, you know, she did a good job on it. And he's just like, wow, I'm very impressed, whatever. Okay. Also, can we talk about Catherine Avery's entrance? So Richard says to April not to call her, you know, either we'll use doctor. It sounded like turtle or myrtle. It was like something McDurtle. Like that. Yeah, something weird that I'd never heard of. Of course, though, April does call her. And then the most dramatic fucking entrance I've ever seen. She comes off a helicopter. She's got a new short hairdo. She has this emotional moment with April, which I guess they haven't seen each other since April lost the baby, I guess. She like holds her face and they have this moment of like, yes, which at first I was like, is this about the penis? And then I was like, oh no, it's about like that it's her daughter-in-law. And then she's like, after their moment, she goes, I want to see the penis. There's just like wind blowing and it's just a lot.
Yeah. I thought the moment between her and April was very sweet.
Yes. Yes. I just wish that it hadn't been said.
Catherine Avery is a lot. I mean, let's be honest. She takes up space and that's great, you know, as she should. But her and Richard are very awkward together in the beginning. I mean, it's clearly not going well. And then, you know, at some point, Catherine tells Richard something about like, all men are the same. Like, you know, you feel like your manhood's being taken away by women and, you know,
right.
That big, which has she proposed to him yet on the stairs?
No, he, and I don't think so.
Okay. I got
That's really coming up.
Yeah. I got really confused for a second.
Yeah. I don't think that's happened yet. And I, what is this quote? She says the patient's very lucky that I was so close. And then I think Richard says, in his position, I would have a hard time calling him lucky, especially given his regrettable choice in women. Best of luck in there before she goes into surgery. And also, I didn't know this. We're going to get to this in notes and trivia, but apparently since Catherine's been in the story, every season there's at least one penis-centric episode.
Oh, well, I mean, she is a urologist, so I guess that...
Right, right. That brings her into the show, I guess. I mean, like a patient story. There's also the part when Bailey and Meredith are talking about like how they've been so close to being so mad that they'd cut off a penis. And then Arizona talks about how getting your penis cut off is not as bad as your leg. And they're all like, I'm not sure if that's like, I don't know. It's just a funny
Bailey's monologue about being that mad and sticking a butter knife into her husband's neck was really funny. Like,
yes.
And all the ladies are just laughing. And then, you know, she said something about like, we've all thought about it, but we would never act on it. And that's when Ben walks in and he's like, good to know, because they're married. Yeah, I thought that was really funny.
And Catherine took Stephanie into surgery with her as well. So she, which we'll talk a little bit more about that when we talk about Stephanie, but so she's kind of like coaching her through, which I hated looking at that long vein that they were going to put in there.
Looked like a worm.
Blood flow. Yeah. I didn't like it. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, I was going to talk about Richard telling April off.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
April telling Richard off. So Richard comes up and he's like, Kepner, didn't I tell you like not to ask like Catherine Avery here or whatever? And I didn't write down what she said, but she pretty much told Richard to fuck off in four different ways.
She says, my patient, his care or his, she says something about my patient, his care or his penis. And then she goes, for what it's worth, I think you two are good together. And then she's like, and anyway, she's my mother-in-law, so I'll damn well call her when I want.
Yeah. And then Richard's response is just, understood, and walks away, which I think is the best response, because clearly April's right and clearly Richard knows and he's still mad about it, but he's just going to be like,
duh. Understood.
I feel like he does that a lot to people. I feel like he says that to Bailey and stuff too.
Yes. I was very funny. Like the storyline of the patient that's the wife cut off the penis was so stupid to me, like, which I guess it's supposed to be stupid. Like, but, you know, the wife and the husband had an agreement apparently where he could sleep with the hostess or the waitresses, but not the sous chef.
Yeah.
I was like, this makes no sense. And then the sous chef was so mad because they were in love that then after his penis was fixed, did she take it off again?
Yeah, she cut it off then.
Oh God, I can't even imagine.
So he got his penis cut off twice, and then Stephanie running after that penis and
tracking it down in the bathroom. Yeah.
So,
dude, his penis would hurt so bad.
Yeah, that would just be, well, and it was just wild. Like the wife shows up and then they're like, call security. And then he's like, no, I called her here. And they're both just like, are you fucking kidding me? Like,
yeah,
they say something like, it takes crazy to love crazy or something.
Love crazy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But then Richard ends up confronting Catherine. And she, I don't have everything he said, and I don't know if you do, but
I have parts of it. But at one point
he pretty much just says like, we can't guarantee anything. He's like, you know, the only thing I can probably promise is I will hurt you again, which, she's like, great. Thanks a lot. And, but he says like, I will accept the risk because you are worth it, because you matter to me, because I love you and I'm not going anywhere. And then
it's reminding me that they have a very tumultuous relationship from the beginning. So I guess it's not that surprising to me that where they're at right now, like their relationship is built on fighting with each other.
Oh yeah. Yeah. And like her being like, you know, I don't want to apologize for, well, he talks about too, how he like fucked up in the past, how he was prideful about his job and his career and like, you know, and he's not going to do that again. And so I think that's good. Like Richard is learning and growing, and you know, can put his pride behind him, because we did address that recently, I feel like, with Ellis, like in the Ellis storyline. So.
Right, right. And I did, he says that he does not have a problem with powerful women. He just has a problem with the way that she's been, you know, acting, which I do think is important, because I think in the past he may have, like you said, had a pride issue with powerful women. I actually think that Catherine being a powerful woman is what he's attracted to, but mm-hmm. I think it's like their lack of communication. So I thought that was important that he says that. They must have like great sex, because again, they just fight constantly, but then they like make out and then they're like good again. So yeah. Who knows?
Yeah.
He's very experienced, apparently.
He is?
I'm just saying, who knows? Maybe, or she is. One of them is.
They both are, I think. They just want to, you know, make sweet love.
Okay, let's talk about... Do you want to talk about the plane crash?
Well, why don't we talk about Stephanie, because it kind of has to do with the penis
thing. Oh, yeah. Yes, because it has to do with penises. Perfect. The first note that I have about it, too, is... So Stephanie's, like, in this weird place where she doesn't have a specialty yet. And she also isn't in a relationship, and there's no one currently that she's like interested in. Which I feel like when you're on Grey's Anatomy, if you don't have either of those things, what do you really have? and Richard talks to her right away in the beginning about how general surgery chose him. And he sort of gets like very romantic in the way he's describing he was doing the surgery. And then it just like was this beautiful moment. And I feel like she's like, cool. I haven't had that yet. And that, like we kind of talked about, I'm getting through the first part so we can talk about love. And then she, you know, does really good job with the penis. She rushes it there. She repairs it in the OR room before she brings it to Jackson. She gets told by Catherine that she's, what's the phrase that?
Above average.
Above average, yes.
Which is the highest compliment that Catherine Avery gives.
Yeah, what? Why? That's so mean. She's above... It's above average. And then Stephanie at the end is asked by Catherine, which she does not ask often, if she would like to come to, where are they? Boston.
Yep.
Yeah. For a urology fellowship. And for a second, I was like, fuck, does she do this? Like, I don't remember. And then as soon as they're in the locker room, I love this moment. She's like, I don't love penises. Like, I did not love what I did today. Like, I'm good at it, but like, I do not want to spend my career doing this. And so like, I guess it's good in a way that she recognizes that like her path will become a little clear to her, in the sense of like, she'll know if it's not the right thing.
Yeah. I think that's just interesting that like, you know, she's talked up to by Catherine Avery. She's really good at it. Like even, you know, Jackson's like, you did a really great job. She chases after this penis. And so she's like, I think it's urology. Like, I think that's for me. And she's telling Joe this in the middle of the episode. And then after reflecting, when everyone's like, wow, that's crazy, tell us all about it, she's just like, I was looking at this penis and I was like, that's disgusting. Like, I don't want to look at this for the rest of my career. And I think, yeah, it's just important to show that like, just because you're really good at something doesn't mean you're really like passionate about it. So.
Yes, exactly. Okay, so then this is where her storyline sort of blends with Owen and Amelia a little bit. But just for premise, in the plane crash, there is a couple who is on a first date, the pilot, and then also the she's this woman, and they were having like a really wonderful first date. It felt like a magic. It was like, the way that the woman talks about it is just like, it's a once in a lifetime. I can't believe that this person fell into my life, blah, blah, blah. And she gets short-term memory loss after the accident. And so Steph is like very invested in this love story, because it's just so like, what are the chances? And I love that she's like talking about crazy love stories with when she's operating with Owen, and Owen is obviously not in a great place right now with Amelia. And he's just like, stop, like he tells her like to stop talking about it. And she's like, it is not fair that you silence my voice. he tells her to stop talking, which I think he's assuming about the relationship things and about love and whatever. And she then like needs to ask a question in surgery. And she's like, and now I have been silenced. I don't know. It's just, she is a romantic in these, I feel like. It kind of reminds me of, who was the one that was obsessed with the author writing that romance story? Was it Lexi? Izzy?
No, it was Lexi.
Oh, Lexi.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because that was during her Mark times when like her and Mark were broken up. So
God, I miss those episodes.
I know.
Lexi, and that was good stuff. And she's like trying to get this woman to remember the things that she had told her about her date, and she's like pushing her too far.
Yeah. But she just really, she has to believe in something. She has to believe in love.
Yep. And Amelia calls, like yells at her for like pushing a patient like that. And eventually Stephanie ends up wheeling the girl into Sam, the pilot's room. And her memory does come back to her. And so like Amelia was like about to yell at her again, but then it worked. And so then Stephanie believes in love again.
Yeah. I don't know. It's fine. It's a fine story. Yeah. It's whatever. Yeah,
it's kind of sad that I don't think she ever really has a relationship before she leaves the show.
No, remember she dates that one patient.
Okay, yeah, I guess I don't remember that at all. I remember you telling me about that, but I cannot tell you anything about it. I mean, is it long?
I don't. The penis?
No. No, the patient she dates.
I don't know. Penis. I really don't know because I don't remember.
Does he die? Is it tragic?
I think he breaks up with her.
Oh fuck. Okay. And then she
dated Jackson.
No, I know, but I'm saying like there's no more afterwards. Like I feel like she had the Jackson thing and then never anyone else again.
Gotcha.
Which is sad because she's such a catch.
She is a catch. I know. And it's
I feel like people leave the show once there's no more love interest for them, which is what happens.
I know. It's very sad.
Okay, let's talk about the plane crash.
Okay, so like Richard is just really hamming up this story left and right to people. Like
he's a mood though in his car, jamming to music, driving downtown Seattle.
I was like, oh, okay, Richard, you are grooving. And like, I'm all about him driving like that, you know, just like, it reminds me of when he dances in his office, when he becomes chief again, like he has certain dance moves that he like does. And then my next note is, what is this plane? Like it just comes from nowhere. So yeah, Richard.
That's what I feel. Do you ever drive over near the airport and then like it happens in Chicago when you're driving and there's this stretch of the highway where the airplanes land and it literally looks like the airplanes are going to land on top of you, and that's what I thought of.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it looked like that. And you know. So Richard sees this plane like coming down or whatever and rushes to the ER and he's like, where is everyone? Page everyone. Like there was a plane crash. And then like the minute he says that, like the phone starts ringing or whatever.
Yeah.
And so once Meredith hears it was a plane crash, like her PTSD is right up in like front and center, and they start doing flashbacks to like she's in the ER and she's seeing all these people screaming and talking and saying things and flashing back to like Christina and Derek and like and Lexi. Yeah,
specifically the parts when she's looking for Derek.
Yes.
And like they can't find each other. And like then when Derek does find her and he like passes out, I feel like that's like important that it's showing him not doing well.
Yeah, exactly. And like Christina not being able to find her shoe and yeah. So, and then Arizona, like Meredith is like, where is Arizona? And Meredith finds Arizona in a closet and she's not, obviously Arizona's not doing well as also. And so they're just trying to tell each other like, they are okay. They are alive. They are here. And like, it's okay. So
yeah.
Well,
isn't it crazy? Oh, sorry.
I was just going to say, it's kind of crazy to me that they're the only two at the hospital who experienced.
That's what I was going to say, that there's no one like that. Christina's gone. Lexi's dead. Mark's dead. Derek is missing.
Yeah.
Is that it?
Yeah. So it's just the two of them and the pilot died.
Yep. What are the odds too that like Arizona, when she kind of comes out of it, she's like that the plane crash went into a prenatal yoga class. So it's all these, I didn't write down any of those in rounds because it was like mom one, mom two.
Yeah.
But there was like a bunch of moms. So Karev is like helping her there. That scene too, when, so it's like Maggie, Amelia, Alex, April, I think, maybe not Amelia, but she's like, like, oh, this is terrible, whatever. Like, have you seen Gray or Arizona? And they're like, well, they have, you know, like Plains is kind of something a little close to them. They've had a bad experience. And Maggie starts complaining about like, oh, and then I was on the tarmac for 4 hours and it smelled like feet. And then, you know what? They canceled our flight. I have had bad experiences on airplanes too. And then Alex is just like, I'm not going to tell her, you tell her. And like, it just like pops into like clearly after April has told her everything that happened, including like the, Maggie didn't even know that Meredith had another sister that died. The fact that that's why Arizona lost her leg, like all of these things, which like just poor Maggie, she's never on the inside of anything that's happening. She always is like says things without being a part of it.
Yeah. She always puts her foot in her mouth, like about things. So, and then they have to call like Maggie right into surgery, like right after she found out this like bombshell news that like her sister was in a plane crash and stuff. So,
Joe also heard about some of it for the first time too, because Joe talks to Stefan, like she didn't realize that all of that happened. You know what I mean?
So, yeah. There is at one point, there's some like crazy ass, like horror music. I don't know if you like, it literally sounded like a horror movie. The music that they were choosing for this episode. And
love when Grace does that.
What?
Said love when Grace does that. Just casual.
Yeah. And then
I feel like Richard is embellishing.
Yes. Go ahead.
His storyline. Yeah. There's like multiple points throughout the day where you hear him telling people the story about how close he was to it and how he almost died. And eventually, yeah, it like turns into this, like he literally almost died, blah, blah, blah. And April pulls him aside. And I actually thought this was at first I was so annoyed by Richard, but then it like was okay. She's like, I have heard you tell this story. Like you are changing it. It is not realistic, whatever. And Richard says that he saw his life flash before his eyes. And suddenly he said, I saw how much I had. Catherine, this hospital, all the people I've affected, all those who have affected me. And let me tell you, it scared the hell out of me, because the minute you see all the things you have, you see all the things you stand to lose. So while it was like, obviously like old man Richard fucking making up stories and being the center of attention, thriving off of the trauma, it is a beautiful thing that he like had that revelation during it.
Sure.
But whatever. Yeah. I feel like the biggest thing about this storyline is the Arizona leg thing.
Yeah. Which I don't remember that happening either. That, I mean, and I feel like I missed kind of the lead up to it, but she's freaking Arizona. Like Alex is trying to check in on Arizona throughout the day and help her out. And she's kind of like, I don't need you. I don't need you. And then at one point she freaks out on Alex in the OR and tells him to get out and stop hovering. And was that before or after he told her about the leg?
It's before, I think. Because then he eventually goes up to her and he feels guilty. And he's like, I have to tell you, you know, like Kelly made the call, but I'm the one that did the cut. She was busy in surgery, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, I thought you knew or something. And clearly she didn't. And Arizona's reaction, I'm not quite sure like what was going through her mind, but she says like, thanks for telling me. And she goes away. And then she goes to Callie and she kind of brings it up. And I also too was surprised that Callie never told her that.
Mm-hmm.
Really selfless of her, I think. And she says that, yes, it was still like, she's like, I didn't tell you because like, I still made the call. Like I still made it happen. And she's like, I knew you were going to hate me. I just didn't want you to hate Alex too. I wanted you to have someone not to hate. And I think again, like things are going to get ugly with them soon, but it's a little bit more closure on that storyline.
Well, yeah. And Arizona ends up saying, thank you. Like, I think I don't think she's mad at Callie about it. I think she's genuinely like, thank you for, because I feel like Callie's like, or Arizona is kind of a little bit further along in the healing process. And so I don't think, I think she can handle hearing that now, whereas like before she wouldn't have been able to. And so, yeah, it was very selfless. But also too, earlier in the episode, I think it's Karev that tells Callie to like go check on Arizona. And Callie says like, I can't be that person for Arizona anymore.
Yes.
Like I'm not her person anymore like that. And that's not her place, which I think is important that they set that up as well. Like she shouldn't really be checking in on Arizona. So
yep, I think they've set some good boundaries for each other.
But Callie does check in with Meredith. So she's willing, you know, to check in with her. And that's when Meredith ends up telling Callie that Derek missed his meeting in DC and that she's like very concerned that she hasn't heard about or heard from him. So I feel like that's like kind of the first person she tells.
For sure. Yeah, so it was weird to have a plane crash storyline. Again, I think it was good that it brought up some things. And now now Maggie knows about it. Now, you know what I mean? Like it's more common knowledge. And I think just really though, for me, the biggest effect was that Meredith was looking for Derek. And like, yes. You know what I mean? And again, she's looking for him and doesn't know how he's doing.
I think there was one other part that was like kind of thrown in there when they were actually in the OR working on this patient, Bailey and Meredith. And when they call Pearson, like Meredith's not doing well. And so like Bailey, we already talked about, does like the 5 o'clock thing. So there's this big theme of optimism. Like,
yes.
And so then like Pierce comes in and this thing doesn't hold. So they decide to try and do glue. And they're like, we're being optimistic. Like it's going to work. And so I feel like that theme too, of like Meredith can't find Derek, but we're going to be optimistic about like,
right.
It's going to be okay when it ultimately ends up.
It's not.
Okay. So,
yeah. Let's take a quick break before we jump into our last topic.
Okay.
Okay. We're back. Thank you for that break. If only you guys could know what just happened in the last half hour. Okay, so our last topic for today before we get into post-op is about Amelia and Owen, which I don't know if it's because like season 17 is doing so much Owen right now, but I'm just not invested in any of it. And I'm also realizing how problematic Amelia and Owen's relationship is from the start to begin with.
Yeah, I mean, it's very clear that like Amelia is probably, I don't think either of them, let's be honest, are really in a space to be in a relationship.
Right.
They both have a lot of work they need to do on themselves. And also, like you were talking about a couple of weeks ago, I don't really feel their chemistry on screen. So it makes it feel even more annoying. It's like, because they're like, so hemmy and high and should we be together? And I'm hurting and you're hurting and blah. And it's like, yeah, well, you're not great together anyway. So like, maybe just don't be together. There was a part at the very beginning, where they were like kind of going at it. Was it the first or the second? It was the second episode. And they were in the elevator and they were like kind of going at it. And John was watching it with me and he goes, I hope I don't have a doctor that is distracted by this shit. And I thought it was so funny because it's so true that like in these episodes, they're like they're relationship shit. And John was like, I really hope my doctors aren't like
this distracted.
Yeah. So I thought that was very funny.
It's like, again, it's like, this was okay when Mare and Derek were going back and forth because I felt like their chemistry was real and I was invested in it. And the back and forth is what made it so exciting. Same kind of, I would even say with like Izzy and Alex or,
Lexi and Mark.
Mark and Lexi. But this just isn't as believable to me. So there, yeah, I mean, right away, Amelia doesn't think Mare and Derek are home. And that's when Meredith finds out because Derek drops off something for her. Also, I noted right in the beginning, there was a beginning, like Amelia yells at Stephanie. She's like, I just want to be alone today. I don't need a resident. And Stephanie's talking to Joe and she calls Amelia and says, sometimes she can be a bit crazy, which again, brain tumor world. Also there's that whole thing where like Callie and Amelia are working with this young golfer patient who's like the junior pro golf, whatever, it's her life. And they're disagreeing on whether to take like the approach that Callie wants or the approach that Amelia wants. And Owen sides with Amelia in the situation. And you know, so Amelia is like very confident, moves forward. She does this risky surgery. And in the middle of surgery, it goes wrong. And she realizes that Callie was right and that her, like, her approach was not. And now this patient is in this very risky position and Callie has to come in and fix it. And they end up like the girl ends up paralyzed, which was an obvious risk. Like it was a risk, but I think they both didn't think that would happen. And I feel like this isn't what Amelia needs because like she's doubting herself now. And then like she puts that blame on Owen too by saying that you only like, can you honestly tell me that you sided with me today was only to do with the patient and not personal and professional? And it's funny too, because I just realized Richard and Catherine in the second episode, he says something to her like, I mixed personal and professional and like it got us in trouble. And like, that's what's happening here with Amelia and Owen. And then she's like, so we can't be together. I came here to start over. And like, this was a mistake and you know, whatever. And it's like, I don't know. I don't know that it was, I don't think Owen sided with her just because he's sleeping with her. Like he even tries to explain that. And I just feel like, I don't know. It's just very problematic.
Yeah. And I mean, pretty much like to sum it all up here, Amelia says she doesn't have more to give to Owen. Like Amelia came here to start a new life. And ultimately what I think it's about is like, there's like some vulnerability things going on there. I mean, she talks to Meredith about like, you know, losing the love of her life and like, you know, like still trying to come back from that. And I think she has feelings for Owen and then like things went wrong in the surgery. And so she blames Owen. And so it's like, it's easier to just be like, I can't do this rather than like address like some vulnerabilities and insecurities that Amelia might have. And I feel like she's grown past that in like the season she's in now.
Oh yeah, for sure. I think.
But it just feels like another, every single relationship that I think what is so frustrating is every single relationship Owen is in. It's like, is Owen the problem? Probably because like, it's never goes well for any relationship. Like it didn't go well with Christina. It didn't go well with Teddy. It doesn't go well with Amelia. And like, I feel like the rest of our relationships on Grey's Anatomy, yes, there's like some back and forth, but like ultimately, like most of the relationships end up being like pretty much good, I guess. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, Owen's been married 3 times.
Yeah, I know. He doesn't, and it's still not going well for him. You know what I mean? Like, and Amelia still is like calling him out on his bullshit in current life. And then it gets frustrating too, because then Amelia has that speech to Meredith, which like, I feel like all Meredith was trying to say is like, just be careful, you know, like she's not like saying don't date Owen. She's just, she knows his whole backstory and everything. And Amelia gives her that whole speech about how like, you've never lost your love of your life and blah, blah, blah. And then she's kind of rude too in the beginning of the next one when she says to Owen that she doesn't want to mix work and play. And he's like, is that what this is? Like, I think he's like, that's rude. I thought this was more than just like play. And she says she doesn't have anything more to give. Again, too, I think we forget, and which Owen brings up, like he's upset about the plane crash and she doesn't know that. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And so I feel like he needs someone that day to like lean on and no, and she's just being, they're just being dicks to each other. Like Owen is like, cool. So if you don't want to be in a relationship, I'm going to be professional, which his version of professional is like rude.
Yeah. He's like, stop yelling at my resident in the hallway. And she's like, your resident. Like,
right. And I do love that moment when Stephanie, like they, Amelia's mad at Stephanie and then Owen comes in and she's like, you two are messed up because you can't decide to date her to hook up. And she's like, I am the hero. I am the protagonist of this story. Even though like, that means she's in trouble. Even though that means she'd get in trouble. She wants to be I am the hero.
Yeah. I love that. I am the protagonist. So good.
It is so good. And it ends with Amelia like shoves him into an on-call room, and which I always capitalize on call room now just because of our podcast. And and he says to her, there was a plane crash, not the one today. I'm talking about the plane that had, and he's like, I put them on that plane. I signed the requisition for the airline. I paid for it. I was in charge. I don't care how long I've been out of service. It was my watch and they were my men and I failed them. I know, I hate that he says they're my men. Like Teddy was in the army and she was a woman. Why is that phrase? I just said he's having some PTSD also. And then like Amelia holds his hand. And then he says, I won't survive another plane crash. And that's what we are. And then she moves her hand away. Like they're just so problematic. They're just like, yeah. I don't know. It's just, I wish they would have never gotten married, I guess. They could have just like been
goofy buddies. Amelia is late to their wedding. By hours. I mean, that's a fucking sign right there.
Yeah. Doesn't she try to run away?
Yeah. Like her and Meredith get in the car and like leave.
Oh yeah. Not a good sign.
No.
If you ask me to drive you away on your wedding day, I'll do that, but I will then not let you just go get married. I'll be like, I think you should reevaluate this.
Yeah, I think we should like
or at least okay, but maybe if I want to take
like maybe if I want to take like a 15-minute drive, is that cool?
Yeah, but like if you're like 2 hours and you don't want to go, this is what I'll do. I'll let you go through with the ceremony, but I'll make you wait a day to sign the papers.
Oh, that's really good.
This actually works great also because I am the officiant. So I will just not turn them in is what I'll do.
Perfect. That's great. I don't think we're going to have this problem,
What if I forget to mail in your papers?
Wait, don't we mail in our papers or you guys have to?
Well, a lot of times the officiant is like, we'll do it for you. You just go enjoy your, don't worry about it. But what if I say that and then I forget to do it?
Abby, if I've known anything about you for these forever many years I've known you, you would not forget to do something like that.
I have been slacking lately a little bit in some things. But yeah, it'll be June. It'll be great. I'll be prime by then. I'll be working again. So my life will have purpose.
You'll be prime now to mail in our wedding paperwork. Great. Our marriage license. Great.
So that's it. I don't have any random notes other than... Well, we'll talk. Callie went on a date with the cop and it was boring.
Yeah, that's my only other random note. And then we'll talk about Maggie's storyline in the post-op.
Perfect. So that being said, Catherine Fox Award. I think
we have to do notes and trivia first.
Oh my God. Thank you. All right. Alternating. Yeah. This episode's title originated from the song Crazy Love, originally sung by Van Morrison.
The episode scored 7.42 million viewers.
This episode aired at 9 p.m., making it the only episode of season 11 to air in the time slot the show held until its 10th season.
Random. Okay. Right before leaving the house, Derek tells Meredith, stay here, don't move, wait for me. He said those exact lines back in the season 4 finale when Meredith built him the candle house and he had to go break up with Rose.
The episode continues the trend of having one penile medical case per season.
The episode features a slightly different ending title card. Oh, yeah. As the title spins into place rather than already being in place as the card appears. That's after it was like, Derek? And it even made that noise.
I'm skipping the filming thing because no one cares. The episode starts the morning after the previous episode.
This episode has a partial time overlap with next episode and How to Save a Life.
Goof. In the scene where Dr. Weber and Dr. Kepner are arguing about Catherine Avery, the OR board shows Herman N. as the lead surgeon for a fetoscopic valvuloplasty, even though she resigned after becoming blind. I hope she's not doing that blind. I'd be impressed, though. If anyone could do it, she could.
Amelia tells Meredith in this episode that Meredith has never lost the love of her life or cried over the body of the person she loved most in the world. Foreshadowing. Yeah, we already talked about this notes and trivia, that very event occurring only 2 episodes later.
This episode's title originated from the song One Flight Down, originally sung by Norah Jones.
The episode scored 7.6 million viewers.
5 o'clock may have been a reference to the time of death of Mark Sloan, foreshadowing the death of Derek Shepherd. Interesting.
Oh, this episode features...
Wait, pause. Would they have said 5 o'clock? Because if it was 5 p.m., they would have said 17, right? Unless he died at 5 in the morning?
They didn't say like time of death. I think they were just saying we have until 5 o'clock today. Like he put it in his paperwork. Oh,
okay. Got it. You're right. God, you remember so much. If he didn't wake
up by 5 o'clock on this one day or whatever.
You're right. Okay.
Yeah. This episode features flashbacks from flight.
Finally, after years, Arizona finds out that it was Alex who cut off her leg.
And the episode has an overlapping time interval with the next episode.
Catherine Fox Award. You know, I'm going to just be an idiot and I'm going to give it to Derek Shepherd for being able to rebound and have sex that quickly, for finally realizing that Meredith is it for him and nothing else matters, and for remembering the iconic lines he said in season 4 and saying them again to be extra romantic.
You know what? I'll just agree with you. The only other person maybe I would give it to is Stephanie because she's the protagonist, I guess.
But. Yes. And I'm going to rate it 7 out of 10. It didn't do much for me.
Yeah, it didn't do much for me either. Honestly, I'd probably give it a 6.5 out of 10.
Perfect.
Awesome. Everyone for listening to another week of the On Call Room. Once again, after we call Time of Death, if you're a $10 patron, you have some extra bonus content. If you want to get that on your feed, then you can become a patron. The link is in the bio. And next week we're talking about Derek's death. So everyone, you know, just be emotionally prepared for that.
Yes. Time of Death is 1446.
Be